The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're broadcasting to you live from our Edmonds studio at headquarters, the headquarters campus in the center of Oklahoma. We're right in the midst of our Philadelphia Youth Camp, which brings a lot of excitement and energy to the campus every year at this time, right in the middle of July, the hottest time of the year. We had a really hot day yesterday, but already it's cooling off. I think something like 9 or 10 degrees cooler, upper 80s today instead of the upper 90s. So the campers were thrust right into the hot box at the start of this PYC, and already we have a little bit of relief. So I'll talk a little bit more about some weather developments here in just a moment. Last night we had our annual stick night to kick off PYC, everyone getting up and introducing themselves. Telling us where they're from and what one or two of their goals are for this camp. So that went on for maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. And already everyone's getting to know one another. So that's exciting to see. Today I'm going to be talking a little bit about the, revisiting this subject that my father brought up back in March, the college admissions scandal that was all over the news a few months ago. And he had a program, I think it was on March 20th, the Key of David program titled No Freedom Without Law. And he talked about the problem with modern education and how that the aim today, and this is something that Herbert Armstrong talked about often as well, but that the aim is to just get the prestigious label, and how that this admissions scandal proves that, or it shows that that's really all that these wealthy parents are interested in, just getting that label for their child, because they know that once the label's there, then they're set. Then they're set. They're going to make more money, or they're going to get a better job. Tucker Carlson had a segment on Fox News, his program, earlier this week, a real eye-opening segment, where he showed how that many prominent Democrats in Washington, D.C., in New York, how that they're getting their kids into these prestigious Ivy League schools, almost every single one of them. It's pretty amazing. We'll look at that, as I say, a little bit later. And then if we have some time, we maybe can finish up our study on the importance of examples, something that I stressed to our youth camp workers at the start of the week. Well, as I said, the hot weather is already cooling off. We've got one thing that we can keep our eye on as we head into next week. As I said, I think it's upper 80s today and maybe low 90s through the weekend. But there is a tropical storm moving through the Gulf right now that's threatening Louisiana. And, of course, when it pushes through these tropical storms or even these hurricanes at times, when it pushes through Louisiana and East Texas, inevitably there's going to be even if not a hurricane, a lot of rain that makes its way up through the Midwest. And so we'll look into that, or at least keep our eye on that, as the camp continues. This is from a news report yesterday. It says a disturbance in the northern Gulf of Mexico has been named potential Tropical Cyclone 2 by the National Hurricane Center. It says this system will bring a threat of significant rainfall, flooding, storm surge flooding, and high winds to parts of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and East Texas. So we'll see if that system touches into central Oklahoma. And again, some of that may be good. By the middle of camp, maybe we'll need the rain to soften up some of the fields and to green things up a little bit. In any event, if you've been watching the news, there have been some, just a lot more in the way of weather upsets than maybe we've had in recent years. It does seem like it was relatively quiet for a few years, but now there's more and more weather upsets happening. Earlier this week, there was not just the flash flooding that happened in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., but it also, I think, exposed some of the dangers or some of the where we're vulnerable in the United States with respect to our infrastructure. They had all this rain just dumped on Washington, D.C., and then you might have seen video and imagery of waterfalls and subways or flooding, you know, in the bottom of the White House, things of that nature. This was a report from NBC News, clip 10.
During D.C.'s morning rush hour, commuters competing with rushing water.
The road literally just started becoming a river.
Torrential rains bringing flash floods, washing out roads and stranding cars. Kids carried to safety by adults. Washington receiving almost a month's worth of rain in a single morning, 3.3 inches in 1 hour, more than an inch of rain than the previous daily record set back in 1958. A stream in Alexandria, Virginia rose more than 11 feet in 1 hour. Backyards looking like lakes and pools morphing into muddy ponds. And in the metro system, a waterfall cascading from the ceiling, while the elevators at the Pentagon stop looked like showers.
Just some crazy images there shown in that NBC report from the Pentagon, from the underground subway system. Slate magazine, this is the left-wing publication, it says, while a single storm can't be attributed to climate change, oh, here we go, extreme downpours like the one that hit Washington are becoming increasingly common, according to the U.S. government's 2018 National Climate Assessment. Monday's storm, this is the one in D.C., is a reminder that extreme downpours are another warning sign of what is to come as the earth continues to warm. Meanwhile, the president and the GOP lawmakers who have advocated to drain the swamp refuse to acknowledge human-caused climate change. Says maybe they'll catch on before they need a boat to get to work. So that's Slate having a little bit of fun at the expense of course, Donald Trump and the Republicans. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She tweeted out, unprecedented flooding is quickly becoming a new normal. Despite that, Republicans are tripling down on fossil fuels with no plan to transition off them or to make the critical infrastructure investments that we need to prep for the climate crisis. So she, too, blames Republicans. But she also points out that there is a need for infrastructure upgrades, and that is true, actually. You see a lot of our infrastructure, it's aging. This is a report from, that's titled Engineering Society Highlights Infrastructure Flaws in Washington, D.C. It says a good flooding could create a lake between the White House and the Washington Monument, and the levees meant to prevent that from happening aren't up to snuff, it says. And that's not the only work America's capital city needs. It sounds very similar to some of the problems that were there in New Orleans back in the mid-2000s. And, of course, the devastating floods that happened following that hurricane. I forget the name of the hurricane. Katrina, I guess. It says that was one conclusion of the American Society of Civil Engineers when it released a report card on the District of Columbia's infrastructure on January 14th. It says the society examined 8 metrics for 11 types of infrastructure, ranging from levees and bridges to schools and parks, and gave the district an overall grade of C-. It says that's hardly a slight when compared with the rest of the country. America's grade point average from the society is D+, and no state has a grade above C+. So this flash flood on Monday, it did expose some weaknesses in Washington, D.C.'s infrastructure. And really, this is a problem that goes right across the United States. How much is that going to be fixed, though? You know, the president has come in and he's promised to put a lot of money toward this. Yet another item on the spending bills. This is a clip here talking about our poor rating when it comes to America's infrastructure, clip 11.
Infrastructure is important to everybody.
And that infrastructure is supporting our daily lives.
It's a huge economic driver for every region in the country that's investing in infrastructure.
The American Society of Civil Engineers provides a way to determine what the quality of our infrastructure is. And we do that by producing a report card every 4 years. The 2017 ASCE Infrastructure Report Card overall grade is a D+.
The overall grade, just like that article pointed out as well, a D+, that's not so good. That is not very good at all. We wrote an article back at the start of last year, April of 2018, The King of Debt. You may have seen headlines the other day about just the wild, out-of-control deficit spending. It's just astronomical, some of these figures. No end in sight. It's certainly going in the wrong direction, and it just it accelerates from George Bush to President Obama and now to the Trump administration. Trillions and trillions of dollars. And, of course, this particular president came into office really bragging about how much he borrows. He called himself the king of debt. He knows how to borrow money, and it's looking like he's going to have to borrow more and more and more. How long can this go on? It's unsustainable, and anyone with any common sense should know that. We wrote in that article just a little over a year ago. In his State of the Union address and on January 30th, he called on Congress to produce a bill that includes an additional $1.5 trillion in infrastructure spending. And then this was a quote from the president. We'll build gleaming new roads, bridges, highways, railways, and waterways all across our land. It quotes one of his advisors saying that infrastructure would take a top priority. But really, you know, Republicans are quick to make fun of AOC's plans to just revamp the entirety of America's infrastructure and how many trillions and trillions that would cost. But really, neither side has an answer to this escalating crisis. When we come back, we'll get into this Ivy League admission scandal that Tucker Carlson exposed on his program earlier this week. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email us at td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
A turning point in recent history has gone almost entirely overlooked. Since that time, an unseen cause has brought about national and world troubles in unprecedented fashion. Crises are intensifying as never before. In our generation, we are seeing radical changes to culture, family, education, religion, science, finance, politics, international relations. Everything has been affected. You cannot understand events without recognizing this unseen cause. The United States has been shaken in astonishing fashion. Have you wondered why the world's number one superpower is declining so rapidly? Are you concerned about where the current administration is leading this country? The Bible provides penetrating insight into the invisible cause of society's decline. America is prophesied to fall before it rises again. The Bible also gives extraordinary insight into how that fall will come about. This insight puts the seriousness and urgency of current events in their true perspective. Understand what's in store for America and why. Visit thetrumpet.com and click on the literature tab to request this free, enlightening booklet, America Under Attack.
The Trumpet Daily.
on March 20th of this year, my father released a program, the Key of David program, No Freedom Without Law, and it was about these college admissions scandals, how wealthy parents were bribing elite colleges across the nation in order to get their children admitted into these schools because, as I said at the top of the program, it's all about getting the label, even if you have to purchase it. Well, as I said earlier, Tucker Carlson had a segment earlier this week, an eye-opening segment, exposing the link between these wealthy Democrat families and all of these Ivy League schools. All of these prominent figures coming from the left, and not all of them politicians, but Hollywood types, mainstream media types. Here, all of their children, the doors swing wide open for their children, or in some cases for these prominent media officials because of their wealthy parents. And these are schools, keep in mind, that for the average Joe, they're very difficult to get into. This is what Tucker Carlson pointed out. I mean, for someone living in Nebraska that doesn't have a wealthy parent, you have to be practically a genius to be considered for Harvard or Yale or some of these Ivy League institutions. Here's just a bit from this segment from Tucker Carlson earlier this week, clip one.
Is Chris Cuomo a secret genius? Does he have some amazing talent that's invisible on television? Maybe he speaks flawless Urdu. Maybe he has a deep grounding in particle physics. Perhaps he can calculate pi to the final digit. Actually, no, Chris Cuomo can't do any of that. It turns out he has an even more impressive qualification. His father was the governor of New York. If you want to get into a top American college, it's best to have a parent who's a well-known Democratic politician. That's the most effective credential of all.
That's from his program earlier this week. Now, again, there's no love lost between FNC and CNN, but still, he brings up a good point because it's pretty much the same story with all of these wealthy Democrats. And that's not to say there aren't some wealthy Republicans who don't make contributions to institutions of their choosing. But listen again to, again, just some of the names and the families that he points out. Clip two.
And don't take our word for it. Ask Dante de Blasio, the son of Bill de Blasio, the incompetent mayor of New York City. There's no evidence that the younger de Blasio did remarkably well in high school. And yet, like Chris Cuomo, he somehow got into Yale. Once there, Dante de Blasio found himself surrounded by people just like himself, the thoroughly average children of other prominent liberals. According to press reports, that would include the offspring of at least three Democrats currently serving in the U.S. Senate, Michael Bennett, Amy Klobuchar, and Sheldon Whitehouse. All of them sent kids to Yale. Did you? No, but they did.
All of them send their kids to these Ivy League schools. And what he's exposing there is that these college admissions scandals, they really go beyond just the rich Hollywood celebrities. And it may not be necessarily a bribe, but these are big time donors to those institutions, Harvard and such. The elites, they're getting their children into the elite colleges. They're getting their children in because of privilege, really. The hypocrisy of these people that then come through that system and then they get the big job at CNN or wherever, and then they start preaching about inequality. They start preaching about privilege. They start preaching about how our society is unfair. They start talking about, well, now I'm here, now that I'm in this position, now that I'm this politician or this media representative, I'm here for the little man. I'm here to try to help the average Joe. When I watched this segment the other day, it just made me, again, it made me think of that program that my father had earlier this year, but also a lecture that we put on in our Principles of Living class. Every year we have one session where we talk about the trouble with Harvard. And of course, we have to update this every year. But the lecture is built around this classic article from Timothy Foote. He graduated Harvard in 1952. I'm not even sure if he's still living. I guess I should look into that. But it's an old article. I think he wrote it in the 1980s. Again, a graduate himself in 1952. And he was writing about the trouble with Harvard back in the 1980s. How that the only thing that mattered was the label. And, of course, he approached the subject more from the standpoint of these people coming, these young people coming into Harvard, and they brought a lot of trouble with them. And then, of course, it's a free-for-all morally. So they're in and out of all of these sexual relationships. And then they're in and out of counseling, and they're seeking just a nonstop line of delays for turning in term papers and things like that. It's not structured, in other words. There's no discipline. It's just you come in and it's a free-for-all. Anything goes. But as he says, that's okay, because as long as they get the label, that's all that matters. Now, if that's the way it is in the 1980s, you can only imagine what it's like today. So much worse. And you see reports like from Tucker Carlson, and well, it just confirms it. Here's a little more from his report earlier, clip 3.
Their colleague Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, meanwhile, is one of a stunning number of Senate Democrats who have sent children to Harvard University. Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey is a Harvard parent. So is Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. Schumer sent both his kids to Harvard. Barack Obama sent one of his. So did former New York Governor Eliot Spitzer. The all-time record, though, must go to former Vice President Al Gore. Al Gore sent 4. Imagine that. 4 kids in a row to Harvard. What are the odds of that occurring in nature? Well, statistically, it's about as likely as getting hit by lightning every single day for a year. And yet somehow the Gore family pulled it off. Congratulations, Gore family. Andrew Cuomo, the sitting governor of New York, sent one of his kids to Harvard, but the other two went to Brown. That's also an Ivy League university that your kids could never get into. Brown is, as they say, highly selective, at least for the children of non-politicians.
So there's Tucker Carlson having, it's just hard-hitting. I don't even know if he's trying to be funny there. But all of these prominent Democrats going to all of these elite universities that supposedly only accept the very, very best. And my father in that March 20th program, well, he goes through this article by Ben Shapiro, who just recounts his experiences at Harvard and how that once he got there, they told him, hey, you guys have made it. You've made it. They're saying this to 18-year-olds that are just showing up, that haven't done a thing yet. But they're telling these 18-year-olds, you have made it, and because you're here, you're going to be successful. It's all about the label. Not about the substance. Certainly not about the character development. Certainly not about learning how to live, how to make wise decisions, how to make proper judgments, how to come to an understanding of what's right and what's wrong. It's just the Harvard label, and the more you look into it, the more you see that it's just a total scam. Jeffrey Epstein, he's given millions and millions of dollars to Harvard, this Ivy League elite university that only accepts the best. And Harvard was catching some flack back in the mid-2000s. When Epstein was registered as a pedophile. But they kept all the money. Oh, yes. Chuck Schumer, he's asking for he's calling on President Trump to explain his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. How about if Chuck Schumer explains the donations he's received from Jeffrey Epstein? They're all in the club. They're all in this club. Look at the U.S. soccer player. She's out front, Megan Rapinoe. She wants to see Chuck Schumer. She's there with Bill de Blasio, Governor Cuomo. I saw a clip yesterday. She's speaking everywhere. She's the spokesperson for the U.S. women's soccer team. Out front with the LGBT community or movement, imposing its will on the culture of the United States. Speaking with all of this profanity-laced verbiage. And she's out there. The clip I saw yesterday, she's calling on everyone to come together. We need less hate and more love, she says. But she won't go to the White House. She wouldn't dare go to the White House, not with Donald Trump occupying it. So he's on the out. You see how this works? These are the rules. It's everyone comes together as long as you're in this radical left club, and it's getting more and more extreme with each passing day. Notice what Tucker Carlson went on to say in his segment, clip four.
Their friends' kids get first dibs, fellow members of their social circle, kids whose families can help them down the road. The children of sympathetic politicians are an obvious priority for admissions officers. These are the same politicians who funnel billions in tax dollars to colleges and universities every year. So letting a senator's kid into Harvard is just smart business. The quid pro quo is obvious. It's a kind of unregulated lobbying. Remember the Varsity Blues scandal in California where a group of socially anxious soccer moms tried to game the college admission system? Well, this is far more corrupt than that, except that nobody's going to prison for it. So how many Chris Cuomos get into Yale every year? It'd be nice to know, but we don't know. Like almost everything about higher education, it's opaque. Prestigious schools can pretend that they admit only the most qualified applicants because nobody can prove otherwise. The real admissions numbers are secret. They're hidden from public view, even though we pay for those schools because all of them take massive amounts in tax dollars. Elite colleges are like public companies that lie about their balance sheets. They're cooking the books to defraud shareholders. In this case, the shareholders are the entire country. A handful of elite schools form the gateway to success in America. If you go to Harvard, you're all but guaranteed to make more money over the course of your life than someone who didn't go to Harvard.
Just a devastating report, fully exposing this corruption at the highest levels of education. And there Carlson's referring to the college admission scandal from a few months ago. But as he points out there, this is far more corrupt. Because this is, well, it's hidden from America. And the institutions are out there pretending that, well, we're totally fair. I mean, after all, we're churning out graduates and we're filling their minds with this agenda that they've got to go out and fight for equality. Is there equality in these Ivy League admissions? It's just smart business for them to give preferential treatment to these Democrat donors, whether it's Jeffrey Epstein or Elliot Spitzer or Bob Menendez or Al Gore, the Gore family, Andrew Cuomo, and on it goes. The books are closed. We can't see how much they're giving. We don't know about the tens of millions that Jeffrey Epstein gave to Harvard over the years. It's just Donald Trump that has to answer for his relationship. Not Bill Clinton, not Chuck Schumer. God says the whole head is sick. That's in Isaiah 1. What does this say about what Herbert Armstrong was saying, well, over a half century ago, even earlier than that, as he was talking about the problem with modern education and how that we're just so grossly materialistic? The Bible says there's no truth. It says we're destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Well, there's knowledge out there, but how much of it is based upon the wisdom of God's revelation, of God's truth? How important is it? How important is it for us to educate our young people the right way at youth camps, at the Imperial Academy, at Armstrong College? It's always awesome to see our teenagers get up and talk about some of their goals for the future and how they want to do well at this camp, but then other goals, projecting ahead, whether they want to go to Imperial Academy or apply to Armstrong College. And we're trying to teach them, we're trying to show them that they're desperately needed. They need this training so that they can teach this world. Here's what Herbert Armstrong said in one of his old radio programs about modern education, clip 5.
Well, Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. That means every college and university. That means every big business institution. That means our great corporations. That means our great insurance companies. That means all the great tobacco companies. That means all the great breweries, too. It means all of these institutions that men have built, that run into billion-dollar corporations and multi-million-dollar corporations. Some of them are not plants such as you have out in the plant life kingdom of trees and shrubs and plants of that sort. Some of them are manufacturing plants. And we call them plants, don't we? It's a different kind of a plant, however. Well, it doesn't make any difference which kind. Every plant that has not been planted by God and that men have not done merely as the instrumentality of God and not in their own will and in their own power, every such plant is going to be rooted up. You know, we feel that the college that is established here in Pasadena, California, Ambassador College in Pasadena, shall never be rooted up. It started the smallest college in the United States. But we here believe that this college is going to grow to be the biggest one on earth, but not in our time and not by our effort. And the reason is because our Heavenly Father planted this college. This is of His planting, and it cannot be rooted up. It will go on into the time of the kingdom of God when the kingdom of God reigns over the earth. And it will grow, and it will grow. I don't think it'll be just one great college in the machine production, mass education process. But it will be established in units and divisions here, there, everywhere, with branches all over, multiple smaller colleges, and I think none of them so large, but what? There will be a personal relationship between the faculty and the students, where every student is somebody, and not where he has lost his entity entirely through a mass production method till he doesn't know whether he really counts or not.
That's Herbert Armstrong giving us the great educator of the 20th century, giving us a vision of tomorrow. Of course, it's just knowing what happened to that church. It's also sad to hear him talk about Ambassador College and where it was leading, and then knowing what happened after he died. How quickly people turn away from restored truth, from foundational truth. Well, God is raising the ruins. And that Ambassador College pattern, it continues here at Herbert W. Armstrong College, a small college with a wonderful student to faculty ratio. I don't know what it is exactly, but with less than 100 students, it's pretty good. And it's the same with the 132 campers that we have here. Quite a few ministers, quite a few AC faculty members pitching in and helping, contributing. That's very different than the tens of thousands that go to these elite universities and all of the preferential treatment given to big-time donors. And then the education that these young people are getting and what they come out of that university with 4 years later. As I said, my father in that March 20th program from earlier this year, he was going through this article by Ben Shapiro, who was just relating. He too was writing about the college admissions scandal. And he says there's more to this than just, you know, a wealthy Hollywood celebrity bribing the college to receive, you know, her child. This is my father reading from the Shapiro article in that March 20th Key of David, clip 6.
And here is the really shocking part of it. After I was admitted to Harvard Law School, I attended orientation. Our 500-strong class was gathered in Memorial Hall in historic Sanders Theater, where then Dean Alina Kagan, now Supreme Court Justice, spoke to us. She informed us that competition was over. We were in. No need to worry about the stuff we've seen in the paper chase. We were all going to leave with degrees and jobs. Not just that. As graduates of Harvard Law, we were destined to rule the universe. She informed us of how many alumni were in the Senate, how many in Congress, how many on the Supreme Court. The battle was over upon our acceptance to the institution. That is an incredible and stunning statement that he has just made here. He concludes by saying all of this has significant social ramifications. Of course, it means that our meritocracy doesn't begin in college. It ends for many upon admission to college. In other words, the real education never even begins. But you, create a certain merit from all of this just because of the prestige of these universities.
You see, it's just what you, it's not what you do with that education, how you perform. As long as you can get in, then it's over. You've accomplished everything you need to accomplish. Now, if they can get in because of a favor from someone else, what does that say about this system? It's sick through and through. And it's so totally different. We sit down with the students at Armstrong College and even the campers that came in, and we're urging them, we're pleading with them to take action, to do something with this message, to be ambitious for God, as I got into yesterday. And I even told them the other night how that from last camp to this camp, there's four of our young people that have left God's church. And so I tell them, there's a target on your back, and you're going to have to fight for this. You're going to have to draw close to God. You haven't made it just because you're at PYC. You haven't made it just because you got accepted to Herbert W. Armstrong College. Now is where the real fight and the real struggle begins. So that's the kind of thing they're getting at God's college. But what are they getting at Harvard? Well, Ben Shapiro gave you a little bit of insight into that. He sat down as an incoming freshman, and here is then Dean Elena Kagan. She's now on the Supreme Court. She's from the radical left. And she's telling these 18-year-olds, you have made it. Let me tell you about Harvard graduates. There's this many of them that are senators. There's this many of them that have worked on Wall Street or wherever it is. So, congratulations. That's what they say to incoming freshmen who haven't done a thing. That's modern education. Here's what my father went on to say in his March 20th show, clip 7.
But you person could ask, now really think about this, what is this? Is this some kind of a plot? If not, certainly, if people may not understand it, but there is a great evil spiritual being that does understand it and is plotting to do some catastrophic things to this nation. That brings the Bible into it, but then Harvard's not very much concerned about the Bible or even history or even education. In this context, that is alarming. Surely we would all agree to that. But again, these students are simply not challenged. How can you get an education if you're not challenged? I'm the chancellor of a college, and I'm telling you, it's not that way here. And it shouldn't be that way any place. But that's the most shocking article I've read in quite a long time. And believe me, this is not a political statement I'm making. There are people on both sides of the aisle, or Republicans and Democrats, who don't really understand how dangerous this philosophy is. They don't understand it. And I'm telling you, it is dark and it is dangerous. And it's alarming that more people don't understand that.
That's from my father's program earlier this year. Go back and view that. No freedom without law. There needs to be law. There needs to be government. There needs to be order and structure. There needs to be do's and don'ts. That Timothy Foote article from the 1980s. He talked about, well, the problems were all over the place. When you'd come in, getting into one romantic relationship after another, and then going in for counseling, and then seeking an extension for papers. And then he said just something as simple as noise. Just the sheer noise coming from the room next door at your Harvard dormitory because of all of this hedonistic behavior going on. Doesn't happen at this college. If it does, it's dealt with. It's stopped. And people are removed if they need to be. But how are young people going to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as it says in 2 Peter 3, if they're not challenged, if they're not told the truth? What a shame. It's like child abuse. They show up at 18 and you tell them, you've made it. You've got everything worked out. You are on the fast track. What if they got in there because, well, they're like one of the Gore children? It's inevitable that they're going to be at Harvard because of who knows how much that particular individual donates to the institution. How much of that money coming in is just coming from corrupt sources? And shouldn't we know about this? If we're so interested in equality and fairness and justice, shouldn't we know? Well, the fact is, whether it's higher education or the mainstream media or the Democrat political complex, they all work to carefully cover it up. It's a plot, like my father said there. It's a plot. They're all in the club. That's all that matters. So the only time they have any kind of moral outrage is if it's a political opponent. And so you see this every single day. So the big scandal with Epstein, and the only individuals that the major media are concerned about with respect to this scandal, this horrific scandal, it's of course Donald Trump and then the Acosta guy that works in the Trump administration, because he was somehow involved in the sentence from 2007 or 8. That's all that we're curious about. Not Chuck Schumer's relationship with Epstein. Certainly not Bill Clinton. Here's this billionaire Democrat donor. And just look. Look what the major media is interested in. Only. And look at what they're not interested in. A billionaire Democrat donor. And he's just been abusing women all of these years, these decades. One final clip here, or maybe second to the last one from my father's program in March, clip 8.
Why is God so concentrated and focused on education? Well, there's a very important reason why. You can't restore all things, you see, if you don't restore God's college and colleges.
You can see why God had to raise up the ruins. It's sad what happened at Ambassador College, as I said. And there were those, I'm sure, when we bought this plot of land in 19, or I guess it was 2000. The college opened in 2001. There were probably plenty of people that looked at that and thought, well, there's no time, or it's going to take too much money. But you look at this world today. You look at the world that our teenagers and our young people are living in, and you see just how they desperately need this education. They desperately need these youth programs to stay grounded, to build stability and strength into their lives, to give them a moral backbone. And of course, when you see or consider where this is leading, such an inspiring vision, it will, as Herbert Armstrong said, it will eventually spread out into the world, all the world. When Jesus Christ returns to this earth, there's not going to be a so-called Ivy League institutions or colleges that are reserved for, first and foremost, for the privileged. There's going to be small colleges, just like Herbert W. Armstrong College, and then they're going to dot the landscape. They'll be small. The student-to-faculty ratio, it'll be just right. This is the vision that extends out into eternity, actually. Here's the final clip from that March 2019 program, clip 9.
God is giving us this prophecy and showing us how this whole world is about to be changed. And he's giving us the greatest possible understanding of that prophecy and the kind of colleges that we should have on this earth today and will have shortly in the world tomorrow. These colleges that Samuel and Elijah and Elisha taught and raised up are going to be the same basic kind of college that is about to fill this earth with God's truth.
The whole world is about to be filled with the truth of God. You can see that in prophecies in Isaiah and elsewhere. The knowledge of God covering, I think that's in Isaiah 11, covering this earth. I wanted to read that verse in Hosea, the one I referred to just a moment ago, Hosea 4 and verse 6. Let me just read the first couple of verses first. It says, "Hear the word of the Eternal, you children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth." There's no truth. This is the controversy that God has with our people, with our nations. There's no truth in the land, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And then it goes on and talks about all of this sinful activity and behavior that we're engaging in. The problem really and truly is education. Our young people are not being taught the right way. They're being taught to disobey God, to reject the Bible, to ignore just basic truths, common sense, biological truths, the nonsense that comes, and it comes out from the university. That's the sad and tragic truth. It's the absolute worst place that you could go and live for 4 years or more. Now, there may be an occasional course or maybe a small college somewhere that's somewhat of an exception. Hillsdale comes to mind. But even still, it's not God's college. That's what young people need. That's what they're going to get soon. God's truth at God's college. Verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest or teacher to me, seeing that you have forgotten the law of your God. And will also, it says, or I will also forget your children. If we forget God's law, God forgets our children. We don't want for God to forget our children. Family, it's the fundamental building block of society. It's the fundamental building block of God's church. I told our young people the other night, we talked about loyalty with them, and I said, now you want to be loyal to God, of course, and to his law, but you also want to be loyal to your own family, your parents who sent you to this camp. You represent them. You're an extension of them. You carry their name. And you don't want to bring shame on their name. You love them. You love your parents. You honor your parents. You want to make them proud of you. That's true education. Family life. Family living within the bounds of God's law. Going way back to the 1950s and 60s, Mr. Armstrong would refer to these prophecies, Hosea 4, and he talked about the problem with education, the two main problems as he identified what was being taught and how it was being taught. What is being taught? Well, it's a mixture of truth and error because it comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it's a poisonous mixture, and Satan has a way of making it seem so right. Well, we're tolerant. Look, I'm calling for less hate and more love. Okay, well, how do we go about getting that? Well, for one, we shut out Donald Trump, Republicans, all of those people, certainly religious people. They're on the outside. They're not in the club. You get into their actual behavior. I have a story from Richard today. The LGBT movement, how that it used to be. Look, all that we want for you to do is to just accept us, to tolerate us. And it's no longer about that. Now it's about imposing it on society. That's what's happening. What's being taught and then how? How it's being taught. Mr. Armstrong said it's just about memorization, basically. Assuming, taking it for granted, without question, that's really what's happening. Just being brainwashed. Our young people, they're not being taught, not in the universities of this world, they're not being taught how to think and how to reason like God. They're not being taught how to be leaders. They're being taught how to follow along with the crowd, how to follow along with popular culture, how to follow along after a radical ideology. They lose their sense of direction. They come out of college more confused than ever before. Certainly with respect to morals, it does make you thankful for and appreciative of God's system of education, that system that will soon spread over all the earth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us on today's program, and we'll see you tomorrow.